7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 66 of Color of Magic. I am your host, Daquan Watson, and as usual, my co-host is with me, Brian Allen. How are you doing, dude?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm making it. This week is a little better than last week, all things considered.
Yeah, I would say so. We're not actively on fire right now. Still, there's probably some embers still smoldering, but we're...
Yeah, that's true. We do still have some things coming up next week, though, with all the political stuff. So we'll see what happens with all that. But boy, we do have some stories to talk about this week. So before we get into it, let's say thank you to all of the patrons that have come and joined us. We have three new patrons this week. We've got Scott Smith, Duncan Jewell, Thomas Brown. Welcome. Thank you so much for supporting the show. We will have some goodies in the mail for you here at the end of this week because I have to get some stuff out for the people from last week as well. And I apologize. It has been a crazy 2 weeks, y'all, for a lot of obvious reasons. But we're going to take care of y'all. And hopefully, like I said, by the end of the month, we'll have new updated levels on our Patreon as well. And one more order of business. We got to tell everybody about our sponsor, Cardsphere.com. Those are good people over. Okay, I generally talk about their service and the things you can do on the website and how easy it is to use PayPal to put money on and off of there and all that, right? That it's real money and you don't have to deal in like funny money points and all that stuff. But really, they're just good people. They support the show. They support several other content creators. They have dudes like Brian over there writing for them. So lots of cool stuff. If you just want to go by the website, check them out. They support some of the most fun, entertaining content creators. So go give them a little business back and give them a thank you for helping us. Now, we didn't do some of this last week because we had to handle some other business. But it turns out the crowd stays restless. So, and I had some things I wasn't sure that I was going to talk about this week. I had a couple of things I could have went off on. But this one came up last night because I'm working on a project, which, oh, Brian, I haven't even told you about this project yet. I'll talk to you about it after the show.
Okay.
But I'm working on a thing, and it's fun, but I needed to know what we call people. Like, I wanted fun local names that people call folks from different countries. Because, you know, you can find some stuff online, and there was, like, a master list or whatever, but I was like... Yeah, I don't want to use the wrong one. I don't want to use the wrong one. If I say, because, you know, some people put stuff in Wikipedia, things that aren't necessarily accurate. And, like, I don't want to use a term and have people going, dude, what the hell, right? Because I didn't know.
What'd you call me?
Yeah, exactly, right? I didn't know. So I figured I'll source the public because I have a reasonable number of followers on Twitter and people will share it. And maybe I'll find some names for some good, you know, nationalities or whatever that are fun that I didn't know about. Which, to me, makes sense. Because if a local person says, oh, hey, we refer to ourselves as this. I'm like, great. I know it's safe to say now. Right? You know what I mean? Like, than just trying to, like, find something. But then I had, like, 4 or 5 different people come on and be like, well, in America, we call ourselves, like, asshats or whatever. Right? Like, in similar stuff. And my thing was, I literally just hid the comment. I said, look, not helpful. Just know that I'm hiding your comment. Right. And I did that like 4 or 5 times. And then somebody said something, well, hiding the truth doesn't change the fact. Like, look, I'll be the first. If you listen to the show, if you follow me on stream, I refer to myself at times as a dumb American. Like, that's not the point. I'm actually sourcing for a project and I'm trying to get people that have the actual information to help me out. I don't have time to be derailing conversations with this other crap. Like, we got to know when to turn the snark off. There's sometimes it's appropriate. Sometimes it's funny. Like, what I'm saying is a lot of people aren't as funny as they think they are. Like, there's a time and a place for those types of comments.
Many of these people have sitcoms and Netflix specials.
Well, yeah, that's true, right? But it's so annoying. It's super annoying. Like, and I get it. They probably didn't mean that much by it. But I'm asking so I can source information that I actually, and I've seen this on other things too. When people say like, hey, you know, they have like a computer question or whatever. And somebody wants to make a dumb comment about Windows or whatever, and because they're Linux users. And it's like, dude, that doesn't matter. Like, this is what the person's doing. You know Windows is easy to use. They have a Windows problem. Just give them the answer or stay the hell out of the way. Right? That's really it. Just let people do it. And there's other times when we're talking about politics or whatever. Great. Go off. Yes, American politics are absolutely garbage. Have fun. Right? Use whatever dumb name, snarky thing you want to do, and it's awesome. But here, it was just like, the fact that I had to come back, it was like, you know, felt like every 30 minutes at first. I'm going to go back and like hide a comment. Or because mostly the problem is it creates work for the original poster, in this case me, because I now have to go hide those comments so the whole thread doesn't get derailed. I'm trying to keep people on track so I can get the information that I need from the proper sources.
And keeping people on track on the internet is always difficult before things get derailed.
Yes, that's you're absolutely right. So anyway, that's all. That's my soapbox. I had to get that off. It's like, just understand the context of what you're commenting on. Most of the time, you're not going to be as funny as you think you are. And then you're also causing problems for people trying to get actual information, because it's not even just your comment. It's that now somebody comes in because they think it's acceptable and they're going to say the thing because you said a thing. And then now there's going to be somebody else who's upset that y'all said the thing. And now that's going to be a whole separate conversation. And before you know it, it's 15 comments down the line and nobody even cares to answer the initial question anymore. So anyway, that's it. I'll hop off the soapbox. But Brian, why don't you tell people what you learned last week?
This week I learned about Paul Jennings, who actually was a slave to the Madison family, like, you know, President James and Dolly Madison. And later in his life, he was able to purchase his freedom from Dolly Madison. And as luck and or karma would have it, apparently Dolly Madison died close to bankrupt, even though she had been a first lady. And her former slave ended up having to send money back to her house on occasion just to make sure she didn't starve to death.
Wow, really? That's a hell of a story.
I'm waiting for the movie, because he apparently wrote his memoirs after, you know, because what an incredible life this guy had. I'm waiting for the movie at this point. I don't know how nobody's made this movie yet. So Hollywood, if you're listening, we want our Paul Jennings movie.
That's a crazy story. Like, and this is weird to say, but I'm going to assume she was at least, or they were at least some, I guess, as reasonable as you could be as a slave owner.
Yeah,
because I can't imagine being in a situation where like somebody had you as a slave, and then you're just like, "Oh, sucks that they're dying." Well, here, let me send them back like $50 or whatever to help them through. You know, like.
But I mean, that's clearly the kind of person he was, you know. Or even though he has zero reason to feel in any way badly for them, you know, he did. That just,
yeah,
I'm sure. I can't imagine myself being able to do it.
That's a wild story. That's actually a good one, dude. Like, that's, yeah. Okay. Well, that trumps my story for the week for sure. The thing I learned last week. Well, as part of trying to ask people about different local terms for nationalities, one of the things that was brought up by a couple people is that the Aussies referred to the Brits as POMs, P-O-M. Okay. Though there was argument on if it was originally P-O-H-M, but then eventually over time, people just pronounce POM and the spelling change. But it's for, I guess, it's both, because there's a lot of things with Australian culture that I've learned that is both slightly insulting, but also endearing. That's just how they roll.
Yeah.
But they use it as a shorthand term for prisoners of Her Majesty, which I was like, yeah, that sounds like an Aussie thing to come up with.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I just thought that was a funny term. So apparently they refer to the Brits as POMs. And what's weird is after I thought about it, I remember somebody using the word before, but I guess I thought I just misheard something, so I didn't question it. But now it makes way more sense. Like, granted, I still don't know if I would use it as an American, but if you're in Australia, you know, that's the conversation.
Oh God, do they have a term for us over the past 4 years specifically?
No, not really. Other than just being dumb, you know. Speaking of, we're gonna get to that in our dinner table talk. So if y'all are having to rush through the episode, skip to the end. We're gonna have a good conversation about stuff going on right now politically. All right. So let's talk about Arena Mobile. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but this is something we didn't get to talk about last week for obvious reasons. But they did announce that the Arena Mobile client is going to come to phones at the end of this month. I believe the 28th, when Kaldheim releases. It'll roll out on Android devices first. And then I believe they said a couple months after they're aiming to try to get it out for iOS. I know this has caused some people to be frustrated, but the reality is you have a ton of Android devices out in the world, and there's more available. Last I saw, more available than there are iPhones. So I totally get why it makes sense from that standpoint. I also would assume, and I don't know this from a programming standpoint, but I would think programming for Android is probably easier and less hassle than programming for iOS. And I'm sure that leads to it as well. But we did see a version that was working. They had it live on stream to show, because you wanted to show that it wasn't just a picture. She like swiped it and touched some things or whatever. So it was Yeah, it's a working copy. And people are kind of excited about it. So I was kind of curious where you stand on all this.
Oh, I'm hyped for that. I mean, this is the thing, you know, if you're going to be, you know, kind of a digital game, you got to have this. Hearthstone has had this for a while. So this is the thing, you know, that people want to be able to play on every device and take it, you know, wherever they want to play it at. So this is huge.
Yeah, for me, I don't know. I guess I expected it. But was, I guess, more annoyed by than surprised by. It's just the people saying, like, oh, why didn't we have this, like, a year ago? It's like, you know what? We have it now. Like, it's not like Arena's that old. Arena's really only a couple years old. I think people forget that. And most of us were basically locked down for the last 12 months. Like, what were we going to do? Like, where are we going?
Yeah, you didn't need it on your phone.
Yeah, I could play it in my living room instead of in my office or whatever with my computer, you know? Like, if you're at home, most people are just on their computer, on their laptop. So you didn't really need it. A bunch of us didn't have crazy long commutes like we've had. A bunch of us weren't traveling or taking trips to visit family or whatever it is we're doing. Like, we didn't have long hotel stays that we needed something to do. Like, we just didn't have a need for mobile. So in that regard, and I think we mentioned on the show before, like, if you have to prioritize something, it makes sense to prioritize the thing that people are going to be actively using more of. And at the time, that wasn't Arena Mobile. But to their credit, they kept working on it. And here we are, beginning of the year, and it's going to come out with the first expansion.
Yeah, timing's great.
Yeah, I think they at least got that much right. Now, granted, I don't know how well this is going to work. You know, we've seen some of the errors and glitches with Arena. And to be fair, I will say, I can't remember the woman's name that was on there, but she did basically say, open up, look, we are aware of the issues and the flaws and the bugs, you know, and just opened up to it. Said, hey, we know there's issues.
Like, that's everything digital. I don't think I've ever played any game for, you know, that first couple of days where there wasn't a couple of things that needed to be working on, regardless of who the publisher is.
So it'd be interesting to see, right? If they are aware of all these issues, they obviously took that into account when they're making the mobile client. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm not going to pass judgment till I get to use it. Because I still don't know how we're going to get these massive board states to work cleanly on Arena. But obviously they believe there's a way. So, you know, we got to let it play out and be fair to them before we start trying to just poo-poo it without actually seeing it. Because I don't know. I mean, if it works, it will definitely be on my phone. I'll tell you that. Like, I'm at least going to give it a week, mess around with it. They did say you can load in your same account. Anything you do on one or the other will work fine. Shouldn't be an issue. The only thing they said is it will log you out of whatever your last login state was. So if you log in on your phone and you're logged in on your computer, it's going to boot you off your computer. And vice versa. If you're logged in on your phone, you log in on your PC, it's going to boot you off your phone. So, and that makes sense.
Stable, isn't it?
What's that?
I want to say, don't most programs work that way? You're only be logged into one thing at one time?
Yeah, or they'll just block you out from logging because you're already logged in from another source.
Yeah.
So that part's covered. No issues there. I think there will be some people complaining because we're Magic players that, well, you said it was going to go live today at 10 o'clock, but I don't see it in the app store or whatever. Right? Just so everybody knows, when stuff goes live in the Play Store, it's not instant across every single platform. It's pretty fast. It'll be over the course of a couple of hours. But there's usually a rollout that happens, depending on the device maker, whatever. But you should see it within that first day, if not within that first like 24, 48 hours. Like, you should see it pretty quick. So if you don't see it immediately, don't get on Twitter and start just sending things and griping and whatever. Like, it'll be fine. It'll come.
I'm hearing you talk about putting it on gaming consoles.
There were a couple people who brought it up in the chat, because I think some people were asking about it for the Switch.
Yeah, Switch especially, seemed like it'd be perfect for.
Yeah, which I thought was interesting that people were prioritizing that question. I don't remember her answering it. I could be wrong, but I don't remember that getting specifically answered. But I would assume it's something they have thought about, since previously they had like Magic Duels and stuff on there, which is something, but I don't know. It may just be like, first step, let's just see if it works on mobile.
True.
You know, then if it does, and you can get it to work on both Android and iOS, then I would assume you can make it work on any console system. Other bits of news we did see, and this was announced previously, back in the third quarter last year, actually beginning of the fourth quarter, I think, that Magic Legends is delayed until the spring of 2021. The only thing I've seen as far as an update is that they believe they're still going to hit spring 2021 as the release. So, yeah, it's a digital game. It's a video game. It's pushed back a year. That's kind of par for the course. I'm not even really that surprised by this.
After the whole Cyberpunk fiasco, let's give people the time they need, really.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason I bring it up, right? Because you had all these people that were literally so mad they sent death threats to people. Not just to people, to their families. Because they were pushing back the release date of Cyberpunk 2020 or 2077 or whatever. And then, when it came out, they wanted to gripe about, well, this game has so many bugs, and they had this problem. How'd they not fix this thing at this level? I'm like, y'all were threatening to kill them because you didn't give them time to do it. Like, come on, we can't have it both ways. So if they're going to take an extra few months to get it out, like, fine. I'm not dying. We have plenty of other games to play. Hell, there's literally a whole host of games that have come out in the last probably 12 to 18 months that I haven't even touched yet.
That's what I'm saying. I got Xbox Game Pass, and I doubt I've played 20 of the 200-plus games that are available on that.
Yeah, so, like, people freaking out is going to be like, just chill. It's going to be fine. Now, I will say the other cool part is, though, while we're waiting for a new Diablo, we get a Diablo variant in Magic Legends, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So, and you are apparently still going to be able to build a deck, and that's what kind of determines, you know, what things your character can do in the game, what kind of spells they're able to play. So there will be, for people that, you know, that are like, if I play Magic, I want cards. You will have a deck of cards to build.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Nobody I know got invited to the, like, beta testing or any of that stuff, so that's unfortunate. I put my name in the hat because I thought it'd be cool if they picked me. I would actually mess around and play it, but I didn't get selected. So we'll just have to wait and see what it looks like when it comes out. However, though, between us, if you did get into the alpha or the beta and you do want to talk about it privately off the record, feel free to shoot me a message on Twitter. Not saying, I know it might be an NDA deal or whatever, so not saying we're having that conversation, but if you want to have that conversation, that's all I'm saying. All right, so let's talk about something a little less actually, this is just more serious. There's no way to describe it, honestly. So for those of you who don't know, there is an emote used on Twitch called the PogChamp. It's basically made from the face of a dude who looked super shocked while he was on an interview and somebody like knocked a microphone over or something, and he made a shocked face, and that became the PogChamp face emote on Twitch. Well, over time, as bad guys do, they have co-opted something that was kind of harmless and turned it into a bit of a negative, I don't even know the best way to describe it. It just got a very negative connotation. So Twitch, to be fair to them, decided, hey, if people are using it this way, let's just get rid of it. Which only halfway solves your problem, but it at least takes away part of it. So I understand their logic there. And then they had this other idea. Which, you know what? Why don't we draw focus to various creators that are really doing their thing and we will pick a new PogChamp of the day. People basically making similar faces or shocked faces, and then they turn you into PogChamp of the day. Which, on the surface, sounds like kind of a cool idea. Right? It's a way to get exposure for different creators. You can make sure you have a diverse group being showcased. Like, you get new emotes out there. Like, sounds great, right?
The idea is cool. As with Twitch, with so many things, the implementation is where we had some problems.
Yeah. So, I believe yesterday was our second or third PogChamp. So, yeah, I think it was our second PogChamp, actually. I think is who it was. That's not true. I have to go back and look, but it wasn't the first one. But anyway, it was Omega Jones, who goes by the name Critical Bard on his streams and his social media. And boy, he was harassed from the word go. Like, the minute they posted his face as the PogChamp and put it up on Twitter, it was instant.
Sadly, you called this, and a lot of black content creators saying that they knew this was going to happen, and unfortunately, Twitch is a case where Twitch disappointed us again.
Yeah. And I told people, I said, it's cool for now. I said, but let's see what happens the first time you put a minority in that spot. And sure enough, walls came crumbling down. And the tough part is, okay, some of the hate was just hate. I mean, there's no way around it. Like, some of it was just straight hateful comments. Some of it were people trying to justify their hate because of random statements he had made and trying to twist them out of context.
Yeah, which, doing some of that you're the real racist stuff.
Yeah, that's basically the way it happened. Like, you've been there, right? So in this regard, one of the first things that happened is somebody took a clip of his, which looked fairly recent. I don't know the time frame of when it was taken, but it, judging from it, the game and his look and everything, it looks like it was taken very recently. So somebody took a clip of him playing, I think it was either Valorant or Overwatch. I'm not sure which it was. But the clip has him saying, well, white lives don't matter, right? And people were taking literally that out of the context of what he actually said. So people went, oh, well, you're just going to put up a racist guy. Like, why do white lives not matter if you say black lives matter? Blah, 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 right? That became a thing. So then, instead of just getting to enjoy a stream and the new attention and the people come over, he had to spend time putting together tweets and responses showing the full clip. And in the full clip, you see that he says, white lives don't matter. But what I mean when I say that is that you can be proud to be Irish, to be Scottish, to be whatever, but not just proud to be white. He said the reason black lives matter is because black people have had their history stripped from them. Most black people don't know where they come from or where they originate from or their history, so all they have is their blackness to celebrate. Which is how most black people view it.
Yeah.
Right? That's not a new thing. That's not a known thing. I agree with what he's saying, right? Yes, it sounds harsh when you say, like, white lives don't matter. It's not that your life as a white person doesn't matter. It's that the cultural idea of the phrase white lives is not really a thing. Because, again, you can be Italian, you can be Scottish, you can be Irish, you can be Scandinavian, you can be what, right? There are things where you can identify more easily where you come from and who your people are. Whereas black people, historically, literally, had their history stripped from them. Like, so they didn't know where they come from, who their parents were, what countries their ancestors originated in, or any of that stuff. Hell, there's several black people, if you ask them, they can't tell you anything beyond two generations.
Right?
Like, I happen to know my great-great-grandmother, and that's it. I don't know anything beyond that. Like, far as I know,
she's just... I'm starting to learn as we do some of our ancestry, but I mean, before that, yeah, I couldn't have gone much past, like, great-grandma.
Yeah, and even ancestry, when we do the DNA test and stuff, that's still only telling us a part of the story.
Yeah.
Because, you know, genes mix and stuff over time or whatever. So even that's hard to trace back. And that takes a lot of work. So a lot of times what we're celebrating as Black people is just our culture that we have created as a group, because that's all we have.
Yeah, our shared experience.
Yeah, that's probably a better way to word it, is the just the shared experience.
And also, when people say, you know, white lives matter or all lives matter, it's usually in a very dismissive way talking about, like, why are you so concerned about Black lives? And okay, if you hadn't done the research, then you wouldn't know why we're concerned about Black lives. But you know, if you turned on any news broadcast over the past year, you should hopefully have some idea.
Yeah, for sure. Like, and honestly, okay, this is a sidetrack from this conversation, but I posted this on Twitter, and I mean this, oh, with all my being. We should never see a police officer say they feared for their life again and shot an unarmed person. Because after what we saw last week, where there was literally a police officer getting beat down with a flag and by a mob, and some other officers had to come in and break up the mob and whatever, and nobody got shot. When you literally have somebody in imminent danger, like people saying, F you, pig, you know, whatever, coming after you, hitting you with a flagpole. And y'all didn't even like beat up nobody, much less shoot someone. Like the next time somebody gets shot in the back, or a kid with no weapon or whatever gets shot, and they're like, well, it could have been thing, or I was afraid for my life. Like, BS. All I'm saying is it's hard to look at that as a Black person and be like, man, if them people had some more melanin in their skin.
It's a bloodbath. We all know it's a bloodbath if that's how it happened.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It's a bad look, and it sucks to have that thought. But I'm just saying, when we see everything we saw for the last year, from literally people sitting in parks getting harassed, right? And you have a literal mob of white folks beating down and trying to kill a police officer, and nobody walked away in a body bag.
And threatening to shoot or to kill the vice president and or his family.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But anyway, let me get back on topic, because, I mean, we did enough of that one last week. And I'm sure next week after the news, we're going to have other things to talk about. But then this got worse. Even after you clarified everything and all that, you still have the people doing the whole reverse racism thing, whatever, which, whatever, just get off that. But then he shared a message that somebody had sent him. And by the way, you may want to skip ahead about 2 minutes if you don't want to hear some pretty disturbing and foul language. But this comes from a person, and I'm... Their name was shared, but I'm not going to say the person's name here because I don't feel that we need to be doing that. But this person sent this to him in a private message. It says, nice hot take and congrats on finally pushing another liberal, parentheses, trans, way more fucking minority than you'll ever be. I'm happy to compare statistics, close parentheses, over the edge into hating all, highlighted, Black people now. Your life doesn't fucking matter. Trans lives matter, not Black lives. I hope you get hung from a fucking tree. We're more of a minority and statistically more victimized, so I'm allowed to say that according to you. Smiley face, mind you. So get the fuck over it. This is my new take now, thanks to you. Get fucked, sis.
Unreal.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, I've had some pretty vulgar and vile things sent to me in various ways over the years.
Yeah.
So I'm not really surprised this happened. But this person, and by the way, I'm not saying this to take a shot at a trans person, because I do have several trans friends in my life. That's nothing to do with this at all. We have very serious conversations all the time. And one of the things that has come up in our conversations is that there are white trans people that still get the benefit of being white. Now, granted, sometimes people do look down on them or treat them different because they're trans, but they are well aware that they still get benefits in life from being white that me or you otherwise would not get. And this is an example of that. Like, they are going to try to play the trans card to make it okay to say, I hope you get hung from a tree.
I just don't understand. I mean, I've seen it before. It's like if we as, you know, people that are marginalized can't get along, I don't know what hope we have.
It's crazy, right? It's absolutely nuts. Like, and not only that, they're using the idea that, well, you're the reason I now hate all black people. Like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, that would be like this person pissing me off in the grocery store, and I walk out saying, you know what? I now hate all trans people. Like, that, there's no logic there at all. Like, you're only saying that if you already hate black people.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like you just were looking for any excuse to say, hey, now I hate all black people.
Yeah, like, you can't, like, that is... And this is what this dude dealt with all day yesterday. Like, think about it. This is one of probably, like, 20 messages you got, plus all the harassment while he was online, streaming, all the messages you got on Twitter. Like,
I saw, Cypher of Tear and several other black content creators say, this is part of why a lot of black people don't even want to be on the front page of Twitch at this point, because this, you already know before going in, this is what you're going to go through.
Oh, no doubt.
A day where you should be able to, you know, celebrate your achievements, is it turns into this.
Dude, I have been on commentary and had people pop into a chat and say something smartass when it wasn't even my actual thing. I was on there for somebody else.
And when, so, or when they take the KFC emote and start spamming that when somebody black is talking, I've seen that one.
Yep, I've seen that.
That's there's a emote of a black face that they spam all the time also.
Yep. So when people try to say, like, just because we're nerds and just because we're geeks and we're into gaming and whatever, and, oh, gaming's not as bad as the rest, like, no, you know what? We're a part of society. So no matter how you break down those percentages, some large chunk of those people are still in our communities. And this is the crap people have to deal with. Like, this, I'm going to admit, like, when I saw him post, like, this is one of the more, like, I haven't had one of these matches in a long time. And this one's pretty up there. So, this is what people are dealing with. And it wasn't just him. So, today, I guess, when we're recording this, there's another streamer that goes by the name of Dear Deer, D-E-A-R-D-E-E-R-E, who I believe, based on their accounts, is transgender, goes by she, her. And apparently the minute she was announced as being the pod champ for the day, already started.
Because of course it did.
Now, to be fair, there's already been some extra support, I guess, because of stuff that happened in the last 24, 48 hours. So people already, like, basically roadblocking and coming to the rescue to try to make it a little easier. But you shouldn't have to have a community effort to make it okay for someone to be celebrated being, well, just being. I mean, that's really it. Like, they're just having fun doing what they do, streaming, and they're getting recognition. And people are treating them like crap.
I can't even just fathom how much hate you have to have in your heart where you're just sitting there waiting for somebody of color or somebody of transgender to go online so you can start harassing them. That's what you're going to do today. You decided. You're going to harass people. It's mind-blowing.
But not only that, like, to harass somebody for nothing. Like, it's one thing. If I came on and at least if I had, like, I don't know, an F Trump shirt or something and you want to be mad at me about my shirt, then cool. We could have that conversation. But being mad at somebody, like, I don't even know if they're being mad, just taking shots at them because they just exist, trying to do the same fun thing you're doing, is just awful. So yeah, this is a thing Twitch obviously is dealing with right now. They appear to be being at least somewhat proactive about it and, you know, monitoring things and trying to ban people, but this is one of those things that's so passive that there should be nothing over. And honestly, let's be aware, this is only happening because you have people of that mentality who were using an emote improperly, got it taken away, and now are going to take out their anger and frustration on whoever gets promoted or supported after that. That's really what this is about. Unless it happens to be, I guess, so far, another white creator. I mean, I don't know. So yeah, it's an ugly situation. It's something that's definitely working itself out as the days go by, but it's definitely something a large chunk of the community is dealing with right now.
That's another thing where for people that don't understand why our podcast and why efforts like this need to exist, this is every time something like this happens. Streamers of color or trans streamers, gay streamers have to go through things like this.
Yeah, my problem with it is that it's so predictable. We saw it coming. Like, even the morning of when he got announced and I saw the thing on Twitter, in my head, I was just literally like, well, this would be bad by noon.
Yep. I saw you mention on Twitter, they're like, yeah, this is going to go horribly.
Yeah, like, and we shouldn't have that thought.
We'd love to be wrong about this stuff, but we so rarely are.
Oh, I would have loved to. I would have put it out on Front Street and been like, man, I am so impressed with the community today because of this reason. But a dude literally just gets on and streams. And he was going to be celebrating, get a bunch of new viewers, probably get paid a little bit, get some new subscribers. And then he ended up basically having to defend himself all day. Like, what are you getting out of that? Like, I don't get it. Well, all right, let's talk about something a little more fun, Brian. Kaldheim cards. Because that's a thing going on right now.
Right.
Which, by the way, to promote myself a little bit here, I've been putting up Kaldheim card reviews every single day since preview start. Matter of fact, I did them in the very beginning when preview started, all the way up until today. So I'm doing them every day. Stop by my YouTube channel and check them out. That being said, what stands out to you so far about this set, dude?
I'm kind of shocked it took us this long to get to Norse mythology, because that seems like it's usually one of the first go-to mythologies that people go to when they start some kind of property, like Thor. How long has Marvel been doing Thor comics?
Oh, gosh, forever.
So it's kind of shocking it took this long to get to the, which I guess that's probably good in a way that they've gone to some other places and they haven't done, you know, what a lot of other people have done with their mythology.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that. I guess it did take a while to get around to doing this. Because we really didn't even do, like, Greek stuff until, what, like 6 years ago?
Yeah.
When we did Theros the first time.
So I guess props to them for that. They've been, how many years? What are we at the, like, I don't know, 25, 30 years? No, it's been a long time.
That's kind of cool, yeah.
I didn't know I needed Viking elves until this point, but I needed Viking elves.
I think for me, the thing that's kind of, I don't know, about the theme, I think is that they've chosen, because so far in Magic, when we've seen gods, we've known them to be indestructible. But it kind of annoys some people that I've been following through social media this last 2 weeks that the gods in the set aren't indestructible. But in the theme of Norse mythology, these gods seem fallible, that you can kill them and whatever. So it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. So it's kind of one of those losing his powers or getting turned into a frog or something crazy.
Yeah, right. So it's kind of one of those things where, based on the source material that they're trying to, I guess, pay homage to, any god you make kind of have to fit the same theme. But I think it bothers players because in their head, they've associated with a god type card to be indestructible. But I don't know. I kind of appreciate the idea that you're trying to stick close to a theme and there's like a random like Loki-like type card. You know, that's out there. You have a character that has a hammer. You know, like... So they've hit the notes and they're there. You kind of just have to look for them a little bit.
It fits with Norse mythology because, you know, a lot of Norse mythology is about, you know, being being worthy, you know, by virtue of great deeds, by combat or what have you, you know, being worthy to someday get to Valhalla.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. So yeah, I think they did a good job. I think all the stuff you think about, there, it feels like there is a similarity or a correlation to something else that you can find, you know, which is actually pretty neat. Now, that being said, I think it's cool that we have different tribal themes that there's a focus on, because we've got elves, changelings, dwarves, giants, angels. I feel like there's another one I'm missing, but oh, there's a little bit of zombie action happening. But the fact that we have all that is pretty neat, because I think that's one of the few ways you can try to push out some of those Eldraine cards that we all agree are super powerful.
Yeah.
And I think that's only possible by creating a situation where you're incentivized to play more cards that work together specifically that push out some of those other cards. So we'll see if that actually plays out that way, or if those Eldraine cards are good enough that you still shoehorn in like 8 of them into a deck list because they're just damn good cards. The one thing I will say that's weird about this release, because I believe 2 shows ago we talked about the preview trailer or whatever, and we didn't actually get the regular trailer. And supposedly that's going to come out like right before the set releases, because I think there's some like toy show reveal or some equivalent thing that they're saving that for. But that's, to me, probably the second misstep on this set for me. Because why have a trailer that comes out right when the set releases? Why not have it come out, like, at the start of preview season, so people can get hyped about it, come see all the cards, put in pre-orders with their local stores or online or whatever, and help move that needle a bit? Like, it's weird to save that until set release.
I think they're trying to do what movies do, or what movies will have like one trailer they drop like right Thursday night at midnight for a Friday movie release, like Avengers Endgame or something. I'm not saying it's necessarily the right thing to do, but I think that's what's inspired.
Okay, I hadn't really thought about it that way. You might be right.
You know, movies, you'll have like, obviously there's going to be a bunch of movie trailers during the Super Bowl. Then they'll kind of go dormant till probably... usually it'll be during the summer, but we don't know how, you know, things are going to go, obviously. But traditionally, you get like big one in Super Bowl summer, and they start really doing it like right before the movie comes out. You get that final trailer.
Yeah. I don't know how that'll play out with Magic. I think that could be a little weird, because Magic isn't really about like watch the thing and then get hyped to go see the plot or whatever. It's just kind of like, because you're not going to see
people like this. I mean, there are some people that want to know the lore.
Yeah. But I would think, I mean, I don't know. It's a, they haven't done it before. So I will say, like, who knows? Maybe this could end up being the best selling Magic set ever, and this plan works perfectly.
Because there are people at this point who, you know, are still reading about their favorite characters, but don't actively play the game anymore because they hate, you know, Standard or hate a bunch of broken cards or what have you.
Yeah.
This is what happened to Gideon or Chandra or whoever.
Yeah. It just feels a little weird to me is all. But like I said, it's first time they're trying it. I have no real issue with people experimenting. Just feels like, I don't know, if this is a area that really needed too much experimenting, but hey, you know, trial and error, that's how you do it, A/B testing and whatnot. As far as, so what you've seen in the set so far, is there anything you're particularly looking forward to?
And we honestly didn't go around. I mean, I saw some of these questions beforehand, but we hadn't quote unquote rehearsed this, but actually one of the things I'm looking forward to is finding out what Kai is doing on Kaldheim and what she's up to.
Oh, that's true. That is a good question, because I did wonder that initially. And so far, from what I've seen, there's been no real indication of why she's there.
Yeah, so what has brought her to this interesting plane, to put it mildly? What is she? What's going on? And I love the design too. As we talked about, the set looks very metal, and she kind of reminds me of, you know, like Storm, kind of from the 90s, from the X-Men, with like the mohawkish type hairdo. It's getting able to do everything. It's super metal, punk rock, you know.
You know, I will say, like, I expected there to be more, what's the word? Like, a more metal feel to the artwork that we haven't gotten. And I don't know, I guess because, like, we that was the whole emphasis for the whole marketing and everything else, and we tried to incorporate metal bands, and, you know, our big fancy preview show involved a band and a big set stage on a boat and all this stuff. But I don't know, a lot of the cards just look like Magic cards. You know what I mean? Which is fine. They should look like Magic cards. But I'm saying, as far as like traditional Magic art, like if you took a couple of these and just stuck them in another set, I don't know if they would look different enough that I would associate a lot of this with Kaldheim. Because I was sort of thinking, like, you know, if you look at the elves, they look like elves from every other set. They have like fancy elf headwear, or they've got like the leather armor or whatever. Or they're in a picture with just a random bear or wolf, and everything kind of just looks like an elf guard. Which is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's just like, I was expecting, like, oh, well, maybe the elves here are all armored up, or, you know, they have certain insignias on their bracers or something, you know what I mean? Like some knotwork somewhere or whatever. But I don't know if it really got that feel. Yeah, that makes sense. Hammers. What's that?
Or say, oh, they all have hammers or something.
Yeah, that would have worked too. Like, even just, you know, the idea that they're using a certain style of weapon because they're from that plane. But that being said, that's a small thing, right? It's just mostly because we were fed this is the most metal set ever. I was assuming that was part of, like, the art direction and stuff as well. But I don't know if it necessarily was.
That could have been a thing that was born in marketing. You know, sometimes it was... Sometimes those two sides of the company don't necessarily talk as much as they should, or else marketing, sometimes marketing just says, hey, this looks hot, this will sell, and it may not pertain to anything else that's in the set.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Like that's sort of what it came off like to me, is that set was done or was close to done. And somewhere along the way, say like 6 months, 9 months out, marketing has an idea of going like, hey, we really think this will perform well based on these reasons or whatever, and we could do our rollout in this fashion. And I don't have a problem with that. It's totally legit. It works. You do some special cards and a cool motif or whatever to help sell the set, and that's fine. You know, make some cool frames or whatever after the fact. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I hate the artwork by any stretch. I think that a lot of the artwork is very cool. There's a lot of really neat pieces, so I don't have a problem with that at all. It's just, the flavor I thought was going to be heavier on the, like, metal theme that they were going to be pushing. But so far, I like the idea of the tribes. I like some interesting card mechanics, that they're trying something different on a few things. If there's anything I dislike, it's just snow stuff in general. Mostly because, so far, what I would have liked to have seen is one card in each color that punished you for playing snow permanents or snow stuff. Like, cause you could have had like a black card that maybe costs 4 to remove a thing, but it costs 2 if your opponent has snow permanents in play. Right. Or I don't know, a red card that maybe deals 3 damage, but it deals 3 damage or deals half damage rounded down to the number of snow lands your opponent controls or whatever, right? Like, it could have been things like that that aren't super powerful. They're just good, but would at least make your opponents think about how badly do I want to play snow permanents? Because right now it's just like you play snow lands and you play snow permanents and boom. Like, you might even play snow lands if you even just play a deck where you get to steal your opponent's stuff. So occasionally you can just activate their things that require snow mana. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many random scenarios where you might want to play snow stuff over non-snow stuff, and there's no punishment for it. So that part I'm not so excited about. But otherwise, that's probably, like, as far as mechanics and things, you know, so far I've seen in set, that's probably my only real gripe. Everything else actually looks kind of fun.
nothing so far looks like it's going to totally just break the game, hopefully.
I don't think so. There's some stuff that looks really strong, but nothing so far that
I've looked at. Nothing Oko strong.
Yeah, nothing. You know, but granted, there's a lot of people didn't think Oko was that good when they saw it at previews either.
True.
Yeah, I think there's just a lot of stuff that looks good, but nothing that at least immediately makes me go like, oh man, that's nuts. Now, granted, when we get to play the streamer early access thing next Wednesday, may walk away with a different opinion. We'll see. But overall, I like it. I think it's fun. And we will work. So next week, we will do probably like we've done previously with our top three favorite different things, different categories, and at least talk about the cards and the set more specific then. Because by then, we'll have the whole set rolled out, and we can have that chat. But getting the dishes out, because we have a real conversation today. We may keep it kind of short, but I think it's worth us having. And yeah, I said in the beginning, this is going to be a political bit of a conversation. But for those of you that don't follow politics closely, or especially American politics, after the last week, we have a situation now where it appears, if all reports are even remotely accurate, that there is a large segment of the Republican representation on Capitol Hill that believes that they should boot Donald Trump as president. Which took you 4 years to figure it out, but after last week, great. We're on the same page. The problem, though, is that according to a couple of interviews, and people that made these statements have been, I guess, requested that they've been kept unnamed, but there are apparently some number of those people that have spoken up and said they want to do that. They want to impeach the president. They wanted to see the 25th used and have him gotten rid of. But they fear for threats to their family and themselves and backlash, or even from the president himself, if they were to confirm the impeachment. My problem with this is literally how the rest of us live a lot of the times.
Yep.
In the America that partly they help create by allowing some of this type of stuff. Not saying the last 4 years are the whole problem, but you have allowed this to come to the forefront because of how you have treated things the last 4 years, the things you've chosen to support, the things you have turned a blind eye to, and previously didn't confirm the impeachment in the Senate for the president.
I'm reminded of Dave Chappelle's Saturday Night Live routine. Come get your you-know-what lessons if you're comfortable right now.
Yeah, for real.
This is how we have been living. Are you concerned about the way America looks? Are you afraid things have got, you know, the division has gotten too far out of hand? We're shocked. We're just really shocked.
But I also tell people, like, I was telling people earlier in a conversation, like, understand that this is already what every person who tries to stand up and show support for one of the minority groups or minority individuals or whatever within their communities or groups deals with. That there are people that, not going to name anybody here, but there are people that I have dealt with that after a situation, I've had to have the conversation of like, dude, what was that all about? You weren't going to say anything when that went down? They're like, well, I wanted to, but same thing. They didn't want to be ostracized from the group. They didn't want to look bad. They didn't want whatever. Like, other people deal with this crap every day. There are times that, as a black person, I have decided if I even want to stop at a certain place to do any shopping or whatever, can I wait till I get closer to home?
Right.
because I knew where I was at or what part of town I was in. Right? Like, I've had to decide if it's okay for me to hang out after a certain hour or stay at a party so late, or I knew these people socialize with these other unsavory folks. Like, do I need to be here or not? For fear of what could happen. Right? Others, we deal with this all the time.
And it's not always, you know, like we talk about, like, okay, you know, terrible places or cities we know about, terrible neighborhoods. Sometimes there are events, you know, that my friends will have in the quote unquote nice neighborhoods where I got to ask myself, do I feel like getting pulled over today? You know, on my way to the after party or whatever.
No lie, there are some places I have been where I have felt more comfortable in the bad part of town than the nice part of town.
Because you're not getting stopped every 10 seconds in the bad part of town.
I'm being honest. Like, there are some times I have been in some very nice places. I've been at some very nice parties, you know, where I've just been like, I know the minute I do anything that upsets anybody here, I could be in trouble. Like, that's an awful situation. Like, the fact that, like, okay, well, I'm not even going to be able to speak up or say anything, or, you know, I better not bump into anybody or whatever, because I know what this could become in an instant. And now you have somebody who has been voted in to uphold all things that are good for us as citizens, as a country, and are saying, well, because we think us doing the right thing is going to end up doing something negative to us, well, I don't want to do the right thing. There's a two problems for me with that. The first is the example. You're saying, well, yeah, I know I told you I was going to uphold this and, you know, America, blah, blah, Constitution, whatever, but not today. So when it's not convenient for you, you're basically laying it out there saying, like, well, when it's unfortunate for you, you're not willing to make the right decision. The other part of it is that now you've basically compromised yourself for the rest of your time in office. Because you're saying, well, now anytime somebody wants me to vote a certain way or not do a certain thing or whatever, they just have to threaten me or my family. So now you're giving even more power to the bad guys.
It'd be different, you know, if you just really deep down, you love Trump, you think he's a stand-up guy, but that's not what it is. Just if you ask people, you know, and they're honest about it, almost nobody, even in the Republican Party, actually likes the guy or believes he has conservative values at heart. They just, you know, they're in it for staying in office or for whatever power they think they get out of it.
Based on last week's vote, or at least attempt to stop the confirmation of the electoral votes, you do have 6 that still believe.
Yeah, but even they don't, I think, really like the guy. They just know their supporters do.
Oh, I agree.
Carl Bernstein has a list of, I think it's something like 20 Republican senators that have told him, you know, told him on the record that they can't stand Trump, yet they vote with him 90% of the time.
Dude, did you see the picture of Holly going around of him done up as Hitler?
No.
Yeah, I saw that come across social media and I went, damn, like, not cool. Like, I get it. I don't agree with the dude, whatever, but man, that's going a distance there. Like, but yeah, like that's kind of my issue though. It's really the twofold thing of one, just saying like, you're basically admitting to the minute something got hard or got tough or got scary, you are not going to make the right vote. Regardless of what you believe in, because it's inconvenient for you, you are not going to make that decision.
Ted Cruz got all the outs. Trump talked about his dad, talked about his wife. Everybody would give Ted Cruz a pass, you know, if he just never supported Trump, never talked to him. He's further in on his policies than almost anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, he could have went off last Wednesday and we'd have been like, yeah, this was a long time coming. Like, nobody would have blamed
Lindsey Graham's phone number on live TV, but the second Trump, it was obvious Trump was the president, Graham has been just hardcore for him ever since.
Oh, I will say, even Lindsey Graham turned around after last week.
But then he was on Air Force One yesterday, so.
Well, yeah, of course. But, you know, he even said, the thing I've been pointing out from day one, said, Don't care if you believe or not. The problem is, and even in Lindsey Graham's words, he said, okay, fine. If you think, you know, this many people under 18 voted, show me 10. They didn't show him one.
Right.
Said, you think this many illegal people voted here? Show me 10. They didn't show him one. Right? Like, that's the problem with this whole thing. We have people that are willing to push a message and believe with zero, literally zero evidence. This isn't even like, well, this could have been a confusion or whatever. We're talking about judges and appointed offices that Republicans and Trump supporters helped get into position. And they are even saying, hey, we want to help you, but you have to give me something.
Any kind of evidence.
Over 50 court cases. And they have come up with nothing. Even the ones where they supposedly had witnesses for their hearings. Nobody. And I watched at least a good, I think I watched two of those. And the clips from those people, they, half of them came up and didn't even talk about things that actually happened on election day with the damn ballots or whatever. Except for that one made up ass story where you had, well, I saw this van around the corner and people were taking, there was thousands of votes and people were marking something on them. I'm like, is this a Scooby-Doo adventure? Like, who rolls up? Like, well, I was on a break from being in there watching people count votes and I came outside and there was this van and I was curious and it had markings that it was a Biden whatever van, right? Like, so the bad guys roll up, they got a van. It's marked that, hey, we're on the bad guys team.
And yeah.
You're taking a break.
Don't buy the.
Yeah, so it's not like this is like midnight in a dark alley and you just roll up and they got tables laid out and they've got all these ballots and they're just randomly marking stuff and then taking them somewhere. I don't know where because you're inside where the ballots are. So I don't even know what's going on. Obviously, that whole story was garbage, but.
Yeah.
But it's that type of stuff, right? There's literally been nothing. And people are willing to push disbelief and keep making up excuses as to why this should be allowed or how he could have won or whatever. And when we have representatives on Capitol Hill that are taking these stances, when they have said that they know there's no evidence, but they are now being pushed to the point of fear. If they're being honest. And one, if that's true, you can't call the Trump administration anything but tyrants at that point. I mean, because that's basically what it is. You're threatening people to not vote against you.
Yeah.
If these are true. So if you're not willing to get rid of an actual tyrant, why should you even have that office? And how far separated are you from society that you have no empathy for all the rest of us that have to deal with these similar situations all the time? Like, know that every time something comes across social media and I hop in to defend somebody, I know that this could end up being an attack on me. That somebody may want to dox me or send stuff to my house or my friends or whatever. Right? Like, I know that every single time, but I still have to make the decision on, am I willing to defend this person and have this fight today?
I think what we've learned is at least half of our country is okay with tyranny, provided the tyrant believes the same things they believe or claims to.
Yeah, it's that same thing of, well, it's okay as long as it doesn't affect me. And like, we just got to get past that. Like, you can't be the greatest country in the world and not care about the people around you. Like, we just can't be.
I was shocked how many of my friends were sharing that. Well, you know, because the Democrats tried to take Trump's term away with impeachment, he should get a third term. Like, okay, you know that violates the Constitution, right? Do you just not care?
How does that even work? Like, well, you tried to keep me from ordering pizza today, so I should get three pizzas tomorrow. Like, I don't, what does that even mean? Yeah,
nothing about that makes any sense. But people are perfectly willing to uproot the Constitution, provided their guy's the one that seizes power. That's what we've learned here.
Yeah, that's so ridiculous. That logic doesn't hold for anything.
Which, I mean, is the whole reason we got an amendment, because otherwise FDR's corpse would probably still be winning elections. I mean, it was to that point.
That's also true. But yeah, like I said, I just wanted to bring that up, and just because the correlations, I think that it just shows how disconnected they are, and they're not going to find sympathy from a lot of people, because a lot of us have to deal with that every day. Like, we make those same decisions. And unfortunately, these are a lot of times the same people that are trying to block laws or new structure that can prevent that from happening to us. Like, just is what it is. So when you have this happen and you're putting these stories out here behind closed doors trying to hope for sympathy, it's going to be harder to find it. I mean, I don't want to sound harsh, but it's just like, you know, when you block a lot of the positive rules or laws changes or whatever that could be preventing these situations, well, you're kind of reaping what you sow here, you know? All right, Brian, why don't you tell everybody they can find you on social media?
I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. Our family channel on YouTube is Alan's Ever After.
And as always, you can find me at Power Dragon, PowerDragn, which right now we're still doing stuff on YouTube every single day. And you can find me on Twitch 3 times a week. Also, you can check out my outdoors channel if you want to learn about animals and outdoors and plants and other random things. I know it's random, but it's good stuff, educational. But as always, wherever you're listening, whenever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And we still have a few more months while we're all trying to get vaccinated, so please still wear your mask, wash your hands, stay away from the humans, and let's get back to gaming and gathering. Quicker rather than later.
If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us on our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate, under patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at ColorofMTG. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.